Bless you. I just want to take a moment and say, you know, literally, love is the glue that holds... Wait a minute, excuse me. Love is the glue that holds everyone and everything together. You know, I want to just give some great honor to this amazing man that holds unity in New York in his heart. He's here. He's holding the high wash, regardless of circumstances or anything else. I want you to all stand with me. We're going to give him a blessing, okay? United in the Christ consciousness of the presence and power of life, the current leader of this amazing unity of New York that satellites globally, that is heard as a beacon throughout the land, of a place where the homeless have homes, the children with broken dreams open their hearts, the people with talents soar like an eagle. Because of this place, and because of the grace and leadership that is led with Britt Hall and Lewis and the Board of Trustees and the chaplains and every person that meets and greets at the beginning of the door, may your abundance continue to be fulfilled. May your message be heard in a way that transforms humanity. And it's so, because it's unity, and that's the only way it could be. Love you so.
I love you so. Thank you, honey. Wow. Thank you. I am lifted up.
You are loved. You are loved. It's my pleasure to be here. I believe in this place. Every time I travel to New York, this is the place I want to come. I see people lined up outside the sidewalk looking for a place to sit. Can you hold that? So there was a CEO, he was getting ready to retire. And much to everybody's surprise, he decided not to get one of his family members to be a successor. And he decided instead to get one of his young executives. So he brings them all in a room and he says, "Here's the challenge I'm going to give to you. To each of you, I'm going to give you a seed. I want you to go home, I want you to plant it, and come back in a year. And the person that has the biggest plant, you will be our next CEO." So Jim's all excited. He goes home. He tells his wife, "Oh, this is what we're going to do." They go to Home Depot. They get the fertilizer. They get the nice pot. And just so excited, water it every day. Well, nothing's happening. While Jim goes to the office throughout the course of the year, and other people are going, "My plant is so big. Oh, my plant's got flowers on it. Oh, my gosh, my plant, you wouldn't believe what my seed is doing." So here comes the year, and they're coming on in, and Jim says, "My plant, our plant hasn't done anything. Oh, my gosh, I can't. What, should I go buy another plant?" She said, "No, you need to be in integrity. That's what you need to do." So he goes in. There's all the other executives. The plants are so big they can hardly walk, you know. The CEO is there, and he's kind of looking around at everybody's things. And all of a sudden, he says, "Jim, in the back, would you please come on up?" Jim walks all the way up to the front. He's so embarrassed. He says, "Oh, my gosh, she's going to tell him. I'm so incapable. Can't even grow a seed." He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our next CEO." Because the thing of it is, you see, is I gave all of you boiled seeds. They were dead and none of them would grow. But all of you decided to take your dead seed and change it for something else that you perceived was better. You decided to go and get something that looked brighter, bigger, and greater. But Jim is the one that is authentic and tells the truth and lives in his authenticity, and therefore, who else but Jim would I want to be my CEO? Now, I don't know about you, but many times in my life, I attempted to trade my seed for something else. I attempted to trade my seed of greatness for something or someone else. I would compare myself to someone else. I would deny myself. I got the calling when I was 5 years old to be a spiritual leader. I spent many years hiding. You know, being in the closet isn't necessarily about one's sexuality. It's also about one's spirituality. You know what I'm saying? We live in a time today it's beyond imagining. In addition to imagining a world with peace, it's time for us to get out of the closet, be out on the streets, and really tend to the people that need us the most, you see. But I traded that seed many times, denied myself, went on into full-blown alcoholism, terrified to ever stand up in front of a group of people. I literally was a ministerial student asking them, please don't call on me. How many of you relate to that? How many of you have kept your seed hidden? This could be the day. This could be the day that you have been given. The covenant that God has placed within you is the story of your divine life. Allow it to be. Take what you have in your pot and say, here I am, Lord, here I am, law. Use me. It's my time. You know, the song Amazing Grace by John Newton. Beautiful song. He didn't set out to be a songwriter, you see, because he thought he had to follow the same seed of greatness that his father did. He thought he had to be a slave captain because he didn't think to himself that he could be original and use his greatness for something else. And so therefore, he goes on those seas bringing the slaves to America. And in a near tragic shipwreck, he listens to the tune and he steps into Amazing Grace. How sweet thy sound that saved a wretched like me. Because you see, he was saved. He was saved from this old antiquated idea that you have to be like your parents or you have to be like your school teacher or you need to be able to be accepted by someone else. He literally was saved that day because he stepped into his own authenticity. Isn't that a powerful story? I love hearing that song now because it has such a different meaning than it was used upon me as a Southern Baptist girl. Wow. I think often of the different archetypes, the different people that I draw from that continue to give me the courage. I think of Rosa Parks. I think about on that day in Montgomery when she was therefore tired and weary. She would go on to say, you know, it wasn't so much that I got tired. I got tired of giving in. But I think about her on that one day, just like any other typical day, that she was on the bus and they asked her to give up her seat. And can you imagine in that defining moment when she declared, so to speak, this is my seat and I'm not moving. Let's say that together. This is my seat, and I'm not moving. That's the part. This is your seat in life. Don't give it up. Don't let it go. Don't give it away, and don't keep it in the closet. Claim your seat. Claim your place. I've heard many times since I was a little girl about Jesus walking on water. Very impressive stuff. Nobody really does it that often at St. Pete Beach, you know? I think about that great story. I think about, and what I think is so fun when you think of synchronicity, because I've been feeling you in my heart for many weeks. And what I think is so cool is that the scripture for today is what Jesus said that we need to get back in touch with. You know, greater things have I been able to do, and greater things shall you also do. We don't just stop with miracles by one person who gave us a great example. We want to rise further and be able to do amazing things ourselves. Don't you agree? That people talk about, that's known throughout the world. Many people have missed that scripture. They're so busy with their own psychology and their own emotional body that they've missed the fact of, wow, we could start where he did. Wow, we could start with those miracles. But the interesting thing about it, if you want to refer to it later, in Matthew 14, 22 through 33, is in the very beginning, this is the part that when I saw it again, I had this huge, like, aha moment. It says very clearly that Jesus sent the disciples on their way. He turned around and he dismissed the crowd. And then he went on to dismiss the crowd again. And he went up to the mountain and he prayed. Before we take on the miracle of the moment, whether it's what we say to our grandchildren, whether it's walking down the street and blessing the people that are sleeping on the mattress or don't have anything to eat, before we step into that, we want to dismiss the crowd that has occupied our lives up till now, needing to be liked, needing to be approved of, needing to fit in, needing to be just status quo. Are you with me? Does this relate? Because I've got a few more minutes. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. That piece, dismiss the crowd, is crucial to go to the mountainside and get all prayed up before you go through your day. Dismiss the fact that you are not here to compare yourself to anybody else. You're not here to fit in. If you have to be something different than yourself in order for someone to like you, trust me, that is not the kind of energy field you want in your life. It's not real, and like a boll seed, it is dead, and it will not work. It does not transcend nor transform. How we change the world is that we change our own world. One light at a time, yes? And so dismiss the crowd, and dismiss the crowd in your own mind. The critic, the one that says you're not worthy enough, or how could you wear this title? When all along, as a matter of fact, you're the only one that can, you see. You're the only one that can. It's a beautiful story. It happened here in New York, one of my favorite. Of Raymond Charles Barker, at the time was meeting in a hotel, Science of Mind minister, Centers for Spiritual Living, you would probably know them as that today, and had about 2,000 people coming. And one day the manager said to him, said, you know, need to meet you after. He said, you know, you have colored people that are actually coming in the front door of the hotel, and we need that to change. We need that to change. I know, everybody stops and breathes when we say something like that. I'm like, can you imagine we even refer to people as colored people? I'm pink, you're gray, you're yellow. I mean, it's like ridiculous. But anyway, so that's another talk for another time. But so the hotel manager says to Raymond Charles Barker, he says, yes, it is a problem. Is it a problem for you? And he said, no, it's not a problem for me. Today is our last day. Today is our last day. I'm not giving up my seat. Today is our last day. And he was really bold, holy bold, and he walked out of there and he went, well, where am I going to seat 2,000 people? So he goes home, he dismisses the crowd in his mind, he dismisses all that conversation, he goes into prayer, and Alice Tully gives him a call that same afternoon. She said, Raymond, you know, I've been meaning to call you for quite some time. I have this beautiful place, this meeting hall, and I actually built it with you in mind. And I'm wondering, are you ever going to come and start meeting here? He said, well, you know, I love that idea, Alice. He said, but here's the thing. Out of honoring Emmett Fox, the Unity Center, he said, I need to give him a call, make sure it's okay. And so he calls Emmett, and he tells him the story. And he says, so Emmett, you know, literally, Alice Tully Hall is right across the street from where you are. He said, I just wanted you to know, and is that a problem? Emmett Fox said, are you kidding me? That'd be like so awesome. That way, when people get aggravated at one of us, they don't even have to take the subway. They just walk across the street. Or if they just want to do something new, they just walk across the street. People bold and brave and in that consciousness. Wow, what a great experience that is. Absolutely. You know, we have to be in reality. And that is what Jesus said, to be in the world, but not of the world. And we want to be mindful of that because, you know, we have a lot of chatter going on around us in social media about what the world is and what the condition of the world is. Well, to me, in unity, I want to say what the world is just the same as I say what my conditions are, your conditions are. I don't want to be affirming that I live in a crazy world or a dumb world or where's the world going. I don't think any of us ought to be doing that. I think we need to hold this idea and this consciousness that we live in a world that is shifting to something greater, that it's in the midst of a new birth. Can you hold that with me? Can you hand me that manual? Can you hold that with me? Because it's very, 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 very powerful. You know, my childhood friend, I was visiting with her in the Carolinas, and she had this new car, and her clock didn't, she hadn't been able to reset her clock. And I went, oh, I could do that. You know, while you're in there doing something else, you know, give me your manual, and I'll take care of it. Don't you worry. I know I can do it really, really quickly. So I go out there, and I look in the manual, you know, and it's alphabetized clock. It says clock, page 8, page 17, page 116, page 123. See clock. Beautiful. I thought, this is easy enough. So I go to page 8, and there's a picture of the clock. It says, this is the clock. To see clock on dashboard, go to page 17. I think this is going well. I go to page 17. I'm still looking. I find a picture of the clock. I find a picture of the dashboard. To know more about the clock, go to page 58. There you go. Here you go. Here you go. I keep looking. I keep looking. It's in the manual, you see. It's in the manual, but have you ever seen anything so complicated in all your life? You see, people say unity is complicated. There is nothing complicated about understanding that there is a law of life. It is a law that is always working. Even people that say it isn't working, it works for them by not working. Universal law is as easy as following the directions on GPS or Waze or whatever connection one has on their phone, that navigating system. It is when we refuse to listen to the navigation system that actually life becomes kind of interesting and kind of hard. And kind of more, you know, interesting in that way. The understanding of unity is the ability to know that as the beginning of every breath of every day is that we are God's beloved with whom God is well pleased. I will be teaching unity in some way till my absolute wick goes out. You know, God is the candle and we are the wick. The candle gets all the credit, right? But as that idea, as that identity, I will be speaking unity until my last light goes out, until my last breath goes out. You might wonder why. You might ask me why. Now that you ask me, yes, I'd be glad to tell you that. You know, you see how easy that was? Because I was dying inside. Because I was 13 and a half. When my grandmother, the love of my life, told me she was sorry she wasn't going to see me in heaven. Because she knew that I was different sexually and different spiritually. That stayed with me a very long time. I hadn't even gotten my driver's permit at that point, you know. And so in that space, I carried that with me for a long time. A long time. Instead of a series of events happening, and I wind up at this corporation, and this guy says, you know what, you need to go with me to Unity. I walk into Unity, I take my seat, and I hear for the first time, you are God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. Let's say that together. I am God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. What else is there to know? We don't need to complicate it with a manual. It just simply is what's so. And we have this divine destiny. We have this consciousness. We have this direction. And it's what we tune into. I see so many people in my community, so many people in my congregation, and they're still trying to figure out if they talk about reality, if that makes them negative or not. They're still trying to figure out if they talk about what's going on in their reality, if that means they're giving it power. And I always say to them, it's not just what you say, it's the vibration that you hold that you want to take you to a new place, you see. It's that vibration, because you may be going through some kind of interesting and challenging time. And if you are human, more than likely you are going through something. I mean, one would think. Is that a safe assumption? Anybody want to raise your hand on that? For those of you introverts, just do your elbow. I still see you. Yeah, of course. We're always going through something. We're looking for a new place to live, or we're, you know, we have a new child and we're understanding that and learning what is the best way, or we are looking to increase our abundance in some way, or we are a certain age and we're processing that, because all around, you know, people are constantly telling you you're older and you need this bill and you need that and you need that and you need that. And you go, all I need is the presence of God. Right? That energy, that life force, that vibration is like, do not be pulling that old card on me. Aging is inevitable. Being old is a choice. Yes? Do not be putting that on me. No. Mm-mm. Like all of you energetic people in New York, when I leave, I want only my socks to be left on the stage. There you go. Right? Just vibrate on out. But we all have this capacity. You know, unity doesn't say things in life aren't going to happen to you. Unity says more than likely things in life will happen to you, but you decide if they last in your life for 15 minutes, 15 months, 15 years, or till your afterlife, because that's your choice. You see, we choose how long an event will last in our lives. Every now and then, when I'm in my, you know, putting it all out and figuring it and analyzing, I just stop and I go, wait a minute, is this going to make my eulogy speech? Is anybody going to bring up the fact that, you know, I didn't get my doctorate with this organization? Are they going to mention that in my eulogy? No. Then it's worth about 5 minutes. We choose. But it's the vibration of the feeling of where we want to be that gave Jesus the courage, that gave Rosa Parks the courage. You see, you can't just look at, oh, things are hard, I'm tired. Can't just be there. It's where I'm going is energizing me. I don't see it yet. It's right around the corner somewhere yet. I don't know how it's going to work out yet, but I'm exhilarated by it, because I'm in that vibration of where I want to be, not the old vibe of something that I already know, you see. The mind already has us where we're going, but the heart wants to bring new things in. In closing, a school teacher asked her children, what do you want to be when you grow up? One little boy says, I want to be the president of the United States. Little girl says, well, that's what I want to be too. Another little girl says, I want to own my own medical clinic. Another little boy says, I want to perform. I want to be known as this guy with the voice, write my own songs. Finally, the teacher comes to this little boy and says, Billy, you haven't said anything. What do you want to be? He says, you know, I want to be possible. The teacher says, you know, I've never gotten that one before. I don't totally know what that means. He says, well, you know, my mama, she's always saying I'm impossible. I just want to be possible. Just want to be possible. I hold that for you, Unity of New York, that you're possible, that people are standing inside on Sunday morning waiting for a place to get in. I hold for you all the stories they're going to be saying about you throughout our movement. I hold for each of you the story that whatever you brought on your heart this morning, for you to know that you are possible, but use your own seed to get there. I hold for you a consciousness of abundance, of the ability to decide anything that is prevalent to your life experience, and your consciousness. For you are indeed possible. And it has been my pleasure to be with you today. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. And just being in the space of all your blessings. If your heart is calling on your inner child, dismiss the crowd within your mind. Allow your heart to really feel the spirit of your life coming through. Allow that energy of the new you that is wanting to emerge. And remember, in the divine plan of the universe, if a cocoon was unwilling to go through the strain and the journey, it would not be a butterfly. And here we are, so blessed in the teaching that loves us as we are. And this morning, none of us had to remember to tell our bodies to breathe or our cells to birth. It's simply that intelligence. And when we go to that silent place, it is that teacher archetype of our heart that needs that silent medicine. Go up on that mountainside and sit. Eliminate control and self-righteousness, fear. So please just take that time.